Let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Connor Riley, let's first get an injury update as we head into the cocktail party this week. Georgia, Florida, you guys know there's nothing bigger. Regardless of what Florida might look like, I take nothing for granted, and I'm going to tell you they've been playing a lot better. But give us an update on what's going on with Tate Ratledge and company. What's the injury update look like heading into this week?
Yeah, so Tate Ratledge has missed the last four games with ankle and knee injuries, but Georgia fans saw him dress out against Texas. That's a step in the right direction. And as he continues to recover and rehab, I think there's a belief that he might be able to give it a go this weekend. We'll see how close to 100% he is, but they know that Tate wants to be out there, and I think that would be a tremendous boost to this Georgia offensive line just because it allows them to lean more on their depth and rotate more and help an offensive line that really, since Ratledge went down with that injury against Kentucky, has just not been the same offensive line that we thought we were going to get. So if you're able to get a fully healthy or at least a close to fully healthy offensive line, I think that's going to potentially open some things up for this Georgia offense, which has just not been as advertised so far during this 2024 season.
Do you think that there's any change in the approach from Mike Bobo after the game against Texas? Just, I mean, how do you get Carson Beck to not turn the ball over, basically, is the question.
It's the great question, Mike, because, again, this was something he did a great job of a year ago, only six interceptions all of last season. And through the first seven games this year, he's got eight. Not all of those are on Carson. And I do think, to an extent, he's probably pressing a lot and putting a lot on his shoulders. But Carson has to do a better job of taking care of the football, especially if the Georgia defense is going to play as it did against Texas, as it did against Clemson earlier in the season, as I think it's going to against Florida and a freshman quarterback this coming week. Georgia's defense is good enough to where, so as long as you don't consistently hand them short fields, they're going to be able to make things very difficult for the opposing defense and the opposing offense. So we hear so much to talk about playing complementary offense. That's where this Georgia group is right now. They need to find a way to set up this defense for further success rather than, I think, lean on the offense like we all thought they would in the 2024 season.
Connor, let's talk a little bit about the SEC and maybe what we learned this last weekend. Dogs were idle, right? They were just chilling. Texas survived at Vandy, which tells me Vandy is much better than everybody thought, right? They beat Alabama. They're at home. Texas wins by 3 points. I don't think people expected that. The A&M-LSU game, A&M is now the only undefeated team in the SEC. And then you talk about Alabama beating the snot out of Mizzou 34-0 when you thought maybe Bama, all right, they're not that good, they're not as good as we thought. I mean, every time I turn around, I feel like I'm learning something in the SEC. And then Arkansas, here's what's crazy. They beat Miss State. But understand this, Arkansas can play a major role in what happens as to how this looks at the end of the season. They still have Ole Miss, Texas, and Mizzou on their schedule. I just feel like, you know, there's still so much we don't know, and that's why these next 4 or 5 weeks are going to be crazy.
And that's part of the reason why it's so foolish right now to try and game out how things are going to look. Look, college football in general is just the smallest sample size anyway in terms of sports, in terms of games played. And when you have these bloated conferences that in the SEC's case have over 16 teams, you're not going to play everybody. And so you're not working with necessarily the same data points. You know, Georgia, they don't play Texas A&M this year. They don't play LSU. They don't play Oklahoma. So you don't really know how they stack up to the rest of the league. You can only really judge them on the teams they play. And even then, you know, certain schedules are imbalanced, you know, in different leagues, obviously. Like, Miami's probably not going to play a ranked team all season. Georgia will have played three ranked teams on the road alone. And so you have to take it week by week and say, okay, this is what this team has shown lately, and sort of say, okay, you've got your ceiling, you've got your floor. How can Georgia find a way to play within that and play more consistently? And some teams in this league have done that. I think A&M, to their credit, the best thing that they've done, in addition to sort of balancing a weird quarterback situation, is just being a consistent team week in, week out, no matter who is across the field from them. And that's the reason why they're right now in the driver's seat when it comes to the SEC and the last unbeaten team in this league.
Mike Elko really made some noise, too, after the game, saying, and folks immediately thought he was talking about Jimbo Fisher, saying, this is a real program. It's not fake. It's not a politician running this program, talking fast and BSing anybody. And then it was like, well,
Mike, he was talking about Jimbo.
Yeah. Well, could we talk about Brian Kelly, too? Because Brian Kelly could. And then, Lane Kiffin kind of fits that description. That was just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Any other names you want to throw in there, Connor? Because he then went back and said it had nothing to do with Jimbo or Brian Kelly.
It speaks to the genius of the statement, where it seems to fit so many different people, and you don't know who Elko is really talking about there. Elko worked with Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M. He worked with Brian Kelly at Notre Dame there. So there is some history there between those guys. But I think it just maybe speaks to a more generic idea that A&M is trying to sell, and that Elko understands for so long the perception around this program has been that it is more sizzle than steak itself. And you look at the way that they're winning football games this year, it's by running the football. It's by being good on the lines of scrimmage. It's by having, I think, a really stout defense that does things the right way. There was so much talk, especially, I think, with that 2022 recruiting class, which I think we can all say was now bought by NIL money, and it really didn't come together on paper. And Elko understands you can't do things that way anymore. You can't take those sorts of shortcuts. And he understands that. I think Saturday's game was proof of what they're trying to build there. And, well, I think it's an indictment of Brian Kelly in the way that that LSU team just sort of imploded on itself. I do think that Elko shows an understanding of, hey, there's a certain way that you have to build a winner. Kirby Smart has done that at the University of Georgia, and I think Elko understands that blueprint. And Saturday was a result in that direction.
Yeah, A&M doesn't win these games. They just never have. Mm-hmm. And so I was waiting for them to implode, and Kelly, it was him and the LSU Tigers imploding. It's Dukes and Bell. Connor Riley joining us from Dawg Nation. How important is Mykael Williams to what's going to happen in this game against Florida?
Against Florida, not hugely important. Georgia should be able to win even with Mykael Williams not 100%. He's right. Not there yet, but he continues to get healthier. But I think from the larger standpoint, if you're able to get as close to healthy as Mykael Williams and as close to healthy as Jalen Walker as you have, it's going to afford you a massive margin of error in terms of what you're going to be able to do, in terms of how you're going to be able to play, because I don't know that there's any team out there that has two offensive tackles that can stand up in pass protection against those guys, because Texas has really talented offensive tackles, guys that are going to play in the NFL, and they just got whooped for four quarters. And so if you're Georgia and you're able to play Mykael Williams and you're able to have Jalen Walker at the same time, that just makes it really tough for opposing defenses, because they're both really stout against the run, and we've seen them further develop as pass rushers. And so, you know, I don't want to say if they have both those guys that they're going to be able to win a national championship, but it is as close to that as I feel comfortable saying with two players on the defensive side of the ball, with how dominant both those guys continue to be.
Do you believe that Tennessee has got things figured out with their quarterback? Did he get the confidence back? And is Tennessee still the biggest challenge for Georgia down the stretch? Or is it Ole Miss because you're on the road?
I think it's Ole Miss because they're on the road. And look, with Nico Amoliva, we've seen enough now where there's enough of a sample size. And obviously, he can continue to get better. They were off this past week. But some of the struggles he had on the road at Arkansas, look, I know Georgia fans are going to be really excited for that game against Tennessee. They haven't announced a game time for it yet, but if I had to bet, that's going to be probably a 7:30 kickoff, a late night kickoff. And we've seen the impact that those types of atmospheres have had on games. Yeah. I think this Georgia crowd is going to be very much looking forward to their first one of those this season. And that's going to be a lot for Nico to come in and play against. And I'll just say this, not even independent of Nico, but when Kirby Smart has gone against Josh Heupel in recent years, that offense has just had no answers for what Kirby Smart wants to do defensively. And until I see Tennessee start to play better and more consistently against this Kirby Smart defense, I'm just going to remain skeptical that they're going to be capable of making it an actual game. Tennessee's still a team that can get into the college football playoff, but with the history that they have against Georgia, even with Nico and the steps he's trying to make, I just think it's going to be really, really difficult.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be an interesting week. Connor, what concerns you about Florida? What's their key, you know, their go-to as far as what are they good at this year?
It's a team that is getting better and has done, I think, Billy Napier, for all that he's maybe been criticized for fairly, I might add, he's done a good job, I think, in elevating the talent and building this into an SEC program. I think just if you're a Georgia fan, you've been around this game long enough, weird things happen in Jacksonville, and so it's always, you know, and this is both the beauty and the beast of college football, where you have these moments where you look like you're riding high, and then you just get tripped up by a Florida team. Quite frankly, you're just better than Georgia. For all the talent that they've had in recent years and all the national titles, et cetera, they haven't beaten Florida four straight times going back to 1980 through 1983. And so these guys have a chance to do that this coming Saturday. This game does mean a lot to Kirby Smart, just with his own personal history against Florida there. And so they know that they have to take care of business, because, you know, Georgia fans know for so long weird things happen in this rivalry game, certainly going back to the Mark Richt days there. And even some of the games, you know, 2020, the last game they lost there, that was a game where Georgia got out to a great start, up 14-0 early, and then the wheels just came all the way off in the second quarter there. So it's a game they know they have to be buttoned up and go out and win, even if Florida, you know, isn't on the same level of caliber as this Georgia team.
We're going to talk Falcons here in just a second. One last question about the cocktail party, Connor. A steady diet of Trevor Etienne against his old team?
I think we're going to see that. You know, against Texas, I know people wanted to see him play more. Georgia is a little banged up at running back right now. They don't necessarily have the depth there that they feel comfortable with. And so I think they're going to want to try and maybe manage Trevor's carries early in the game, especially if they get up early like they did against Texas. But I think Trevor, to his credit, he's been Georgia's offensive MVP so far this season, and I would expect him to have a big game on Saturday for Georgia.